Your Bibles to the little book of Jude, okay? If you don't have a Bible, grab one in front of you. We will be using it tonight. If you know my preaching style, I don't stick with one passage. We go to a lot, and so be prepared for that. I did talk to Edgar and Betty, though, before the service, and Betty said this. She said, just remember one thing. Keep it short and sweet. And I said, Betty, you know me better than that. I don't do anything short and sweet. And then Edgar was like, hey, just take time so that I can write down the verses. So I don't know who to listen to. We'll figure it out one way or another. Jude. We're going to look at Jude 22 tonight. And with a message I've called Moved with Compassion, Moved to Action. So can you all just stand up for a second? I know we've been sitting for a while. Let's stand up. Let's read this tiny little verse. It won't take us very long. You can get back into the comfort of your pew here in just a second. Here is Jude 22. It says this. And if some have compassion, making a difference. And I think sometimes we get this verse a little confused, and we'll kind of clarify what this verse is really talking about, I believe, towards the end of this message. But before we do that, let's open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for who you are. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to come together. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to pray with one another. Lord, I ask that we would never take that for granted, Lord, that we never take Lord, talking to you for granted. Lord, that we would really look at it as an opportunity to open up the doors of heaven and talk to the great King of the universe. And Lord, I ask, Lord, tonight, Lord, that as I preach, Lord, that it would be clear. And Lord, also, Lord, that we would apply the truths of your word to our lives and that we would leave changed. Lord, help us tonight. Help us to stay focused. And Lord, help us to bring you glory as well. We pray this all in the wonderful name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So I don't have fancy introductions. I don't do that because I have too much information. So let's just dive right in. Point number one tonight is this, a perfect example. If we're going to talk about moved with compassion, moved to action, we need to look at the perfect example. The perfect example is Jesus, okay? If you studied the life of Jesus for any amount of time, you find out that oftentimes he was moved with compassion and oftentimes he made a difference. So let's look at it, okay? I also found out that there's a whole bunch of passages in the Old Testament that talk about how God is moved with compassion. Check them out. They're pretty incredible. We're not going to talk about those tonight, though. My message would have been like 4 hours long, and that would have really upset Betty. That would have been a problem. Okay, a perfect example. Number one, go to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Again, we're going to be in a lot of passages, so be prepared to get your fingers ready. Do the finger exercise if you have to. Okay, it's this little thing, okay? And let's just get ready. Matthew chapter 9, beginning with verse number 36, a passage you should be familiar with. It says this, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So the first thing I want to look at, the perfect example, Jesus had compassion on the wandering lost soul. Do you see that there in that passage? Where Jesus had compassion on the wandering lost soul. Jesus, when he was on this earth, wasn't just kind of meandering around. He wasn't just kind of like, I'm going to go from this point to this point, and I don't care who's in my way. That is not how he did ministry. He was always looking at people, always involved, always trying to make a difference. Jesus' compassion, this will be a theme as we look. Jesus' compassion went beyond just words or feelings. I want you to understand this. When we think of the word compassion, it's not just a warm, fuzzy feeling. You know, you can watch those ASPCA commercials, you know, with like the dogs and stuff like that, and you get that warm, fuzzy feeling, and you're like, well, I want to adopt them all. That is not what we're talking about. Okay? We're not talking about that. Compassion, really, yes, it starts with a love. It starts with a pity. It starts with a sympathy. But it also goes to showing mercy. Jesus, actually, in Matthew chapter 10, if you just look just a verse after this, you'll see that Jesus actually sends out his disciples to impact the lost souls. Jesus wasn't just like, hey, I've got compassion for these lost people. He's literally about to send out his disciples to start doing the work. So I want you to understand something. Jesus had compassion on the wandering lost soul, and he did something about it. What about us? What about us? Do we have that kind of compassion? It's one thing to be like, well, the world needs Jesus. Yeah, they do. But are you doing anything about it? We have tracts. You should be memorizing verses that help you share the gospel. That should be a part of what you do. Are we doing anything about it? The world needs Jesus Christ, and it's not just the pastoral staff that's supposed to do that. It's all of us. But that's not the only thing that we see where Jesus had compassion on somebody. Go to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. It's going to be on the screen, so if you're a little slower, it's okay. Matthew 14, verse number 13, it says this, "When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was," what do we see? "Moved with compassion toward them and healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, 'This is a desert place and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals," food, okay? "But Jesus said unto them, 'They need not depart. Give ye them to eat.'" We know what's going to happen, right? Jesus is going to feed the 5,000. Jesus here had compassion on the ill-prepared. These guys were not ready. If you and I were to walk into the desert, what would we do? First thing I would do is grab water, right? Sounds like a pretty good plan. I'd also grab food because I get hungry very easily, okay? I would bring supplies, right? I would bring supplies. These people, I don't know what they were thinking. Maybe they were just kind of like following along, and all of a sudden, oh, we're in the desert. There's not a lot of stuff to eat in the desert. They were ill-prepared. Jesus didn't go, well, you're not prepared. You didn't think about it. You didn't count the cost. Figure it out. That's not what Jesus did he? He made a difference. He had compassion and made a difference. So often we're like, well, that homeless guy, they really should have invested better. They should have taken care of their finances a little better. They should have done this or that. And we completely miss an opportunity to impact another person. Am I right? And by the way, that also applies to what we're now finding in America. What just happened? The Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade. Awesome. Are we prepared to help those who are now worried? Are we prepared to do something about it? It's easy to go, well, yeah, praise the Lord, Roe versus Wade is overturned. But what are we going to do about that young pregnant girl who has a baby? What are we going to do? You see, it's easy to talk the talk. It's much different to walk the walk. It would have been much easier for Jesus to go, well, you didn't prepare. You didn't think this through. Go back to the town. I'll be sitting here waiting. No, Jesus did something about it. I can't break bread and feed 5,000 people. Okay, I don't have that ability. But I do have the ability to make a difference. And let me tell you something tonight. Every one of us has the ability to make a difference in our community. We do. Jesus' compassion, again, went beyond just words or feelings. Jesus breaks the bread and feeds the multitude. Go to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, verse number 30 is where we're going to start. We're going to see another opportunity where Jesus had compassion and he makes a difference. This is a pretty incredible one. I have no idea what's going on with the microphone, but we'll figure it out. I feel like I'm like there and then I'm not, and there and not. We'll figure it out. It's okay. If I need to stay here, I'll stay here. It's okay. I'll try my best. Maybe that'll keep me short. We'll try. Matthew 20, verse number 30, says this, "And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David.' And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David.' And Jesus stood still and called them and said, 'What will ye that I shall do unto you?' They say unto him, 'Lord, that our eyes may be opened.'" Right? If you were blind, that's what you'd want Jesus to do. "So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him." What kind of people is Jesus dealing with here?
that Jesus had compassion on the forgotten. He had compassion on the forgotten. These people, these men, everybody walked by. Everybody actually said, hey, stop talking. Jesus has got more important stuff to do. Stop talking. They were completely forgotten. Do you realize that there are people in our community that are completely forgotten about? One of those places is the nursing home. Some of those people are completely forgotten. They're sitting in the room by themselves, and you and I can make a difference if we just did something. And it's really not that hard. Whenever I visit the nursing home, I am always the lost child that never visited. I don't know why. I don't know these people, but I'm always that person. Like, why didn't you visit? It's been like that since I was in sixth grade. I'm always the lost child. I don't know what it is. But you know what? Sometimes you just take it. Well, I'm here now. Let's talk. You know, there are people that are forgotten around you. There are people in this church that feel like they are forgotten. You getting what I'm saying, church? There are people here that feel like they are forgotten, that nobody cares. What's the point? Why continue to live for Jesus Christ? And you and I go about and just do our thing. Jesus had compassion on the forgotten. Jesus' compassion, again, went beyond just feelings or just words. He did something about it. I cannot heal the blind. I wish I could. I can't. But I can make a difference. Look at verse number 34. Look at this verse again. Matthew 20, verse number 34. And Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. So Jesus has compassion enough to stand and talk, and Jesus' compassion went beyond that to help someone else. You getting the point here? We're not done, by the way. We're still going. Mark chapter 1 is where we're going to go. We're moving on from Matthew to Mark chapter 1, verse number 40. It says this, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. By the way, he is violating all kinds of laws doing this, okay? If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Where is Jesus' compassion here? Jesus' compassion here is on the shunned. I want you to understand something. For the leper, it was a big deal to get leprosy. It was a big deal. You were leaving your family with a death sentence. There was nothing anyone could do for you. And the only contact you would have is with other lepers. Do you realize how big of a move this is by Jesus to heal this leper? I think because we don't really see leprosy anymore, we kind of like, whatever. This is a huge deal. Jesus' compassion, once again, went beyond words or feelings. Jesus healed these lepers with a what? With a touch. You know how amazing that is for that leper? That here a cleansed person, a clean person, doesn't like completely walk around and completely avoid you and start running when they see you. That he actually stood there and let this leper walk up to him is huge for this leper. The fact that Jesus reached out his hand and touched this leper is a huge deal. Do you realize that this disease was transferred by touch? So when somebody walked up to a leper and they touched him, they would have to be shunned? Here it is, Jesus doing something that no one would expect. When was the last time you and I did something that no one would expect? That we went above and beyond the call of duty, that we went above and beyond what is reasonable in our society to help someone else who can do nothing for you. The leper didn't have a whole pile of gold and go, hey, I'll trade you gold for healing. That's not how it worked. The leper brought nothing to Jesus. When was the last time you helped someone when you knew they could never pay you back? You see, compassion goes beyond just a warm, fuzzy feeling. It goes beyond just words, which so often in the Christian life, we say words and we never back them up with action. Well, I love the lost, Brother Dan. I love them. When was the last time you talked to one about the gospel? Well, I love the people in the nursing home. When was the last time you visited someone in the nursing home? Well, I love our elderly people who are shut-ins. When was the last time you visited one of them? See, it's easy to say words. It would have been easy to go, hey, leper, just stay there. I'll heal you from there. Jesus could have done it. But Jesus didn't. He touched him. You see, it's easy to talk. And we're going to get to this a little later. This is why I'm kind of driving this home. It's easy to talk. It's hard to act. But again, we're not done yet. Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 15. Luke chapter 7, beginning with verse number 11. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh of the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not, which is a very interesting thing to say to a widow who just lost their only child, especially in Bible times. We'll get to that in a second. I can always get ahead of myself. And he came and touched the bier, the child, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. I want you to understand something here. By the way, Jesus' compassion goes beyond words or feelings here too. Jesus doesn't just go, lady, it's all right. It's okay. No, Jesus does something. Again, I cannot raise the dead. Again, I wish I could. I can't. I don't have that power. But there are things I can do. And I tell our teens this all the time. When there is loss in our church, you may not have the words to say, but there are things you can do. You can go to that person's house. You can mow their grass. Is that a huge deal for someone who just lost someone? Probably not. But could it impact them? Yeah. You may not have the words, but you can bake cookies. If I baked anything, I'd be like, I ain't eating that. Right, Edgar? Just shove that off to the side. Throw that in the trash. Dan made that. Jesus' compassion went beyond words or feelings. This boy's death would have greatly affected the mother. I want you to understand this because, again, we lose things in culture. This widow had lost her husband. In Bible times, ladies can't work. They couldn't get a job. So this son who died is a death sentence for the mom. There is nothing she can do but beg and plead for the mercy of others. That's all she could do. This was a huge, huge deal. This isn't just, you know, a kind of passing thing where it's like, oh, you'll figure it out. You can get a job. It's no. She could not work. She could not support herself. She right now, with this son that she had, was 100% reliant on her son. So what is Jesus doing here? What is his compassion on? It is on the hopeless. I want you to know something. The Bible actually tells us that the lost have no hope. They have none. Why? They don't have the God of all hope. Do you see how it works? Hope doesn't come because of your circumstances. Hope comes from who you're trusting in, which is the God of all hope. Right? So here she is. She's hopeless. I want you to know something tonight. There are countless people in our community who are without hope tonight. Do you have compassion on the hopeless? I cannot help but think of the many people that I've come in contact with, that I've rubbed shoulders with, that I have not shared the gospel with. I'm going to tell you a story. that really shocked me. And if you, and as I tell this story, you'll kind of understand. I was in Miller's. I was cashing out. I think I was riding the motorcycle, so I had my helmet, and I had all these bags, and I had my backpack, and trying to shove stuff in it after I was done. And the cashier said, "Hey, where's your kids?" And I'm like, "I've never talked to you in my entire life. What on earth are you talking about?" She's like, "Yeah, they're always super well-behaved." I'm like, "You talking about my kids?" Like, "Trust me, they're not always well-behaved." She's like, "Yeah, they're always super sweet and well-behaved." I'm like, "Okay." And I just went about my business. I cashed out. I carried my helmet, carried the bags, and walked out to the motorcycle. And it didn't even occur to me till the next day that that would have been a perfect opportunity to hand that lady a gospel tract. You want to know why we're different? Because we are different. You want to know why our kids are so well-behaved? Because we're different. And I'm not just talking about my weird nature, okay? Which you all know, I'm weird, okay? Yes, Ben is shaking his head. Jerry's shaking his head. Yes, I'm weird. It's okay. You and I are different. And I've said this to our teens, and I think I've said this to you before, but you want to make a difference, you must be different. You want to make a difference in the world, you have to be different than them. You want to have compassion, it's going to make a difference because no one else does. Right? How does the world live? Well, most of them, I can't say all of them. Most of them live just however they want. They worry about number one, and that's all they worry about. Get out of my way. You're slowing me down. That should not be our attitude. I should never be in too much of a rush that I don't think about sharing the gospel with that person. If you're in that much of a rush, there's a problem. I love being early. I hate being late. I hate it. It drives me nuts. But can I tell you, when you're sharing the gospel, don't be in a rush. Whatever you are going to can wait. It can. Don't be in a rush. Don't be like me so often. I just want to get out of the grocery store without a child screaming. That's me, right? And we got a witness? Okay. I just want to get out of the grocery store without everyone thinking that I'm kidnapping a child. Okay, that's all I want. That is my one goal. Don't be in a rush. Look for opportunities to impact others. Jesus raised this boy from the dead, giving this mom hope. That's point number one. Thankfully, point number two is not half as long, so we're all good. Point number two, a powerful challenge. I guess I'm not a Baptist because it is not alliterated. News to me. Okay, a powerful challenge. This challenge is where we apply this to our life. We talked about Jesus. Jesus is our example. We should be following his steps. We should be doing what he did. We should have compassion because he did, but that's not where the Bible ends. Okay? So, a powerful challenge. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. Finally, be all of one mind. Speaking of unity, by the way, unity is not something that we force. It's something that we are unified around a common cause. I want you to understand this. We are unified around a common cause here at this church, which is to bring God glory. Right? So it's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about pastor. It's not about the pastoral staff. It's about bringing God glory. We are unified around a common cause. Make sense? Okay. Finally, be all of one mind. Have one singular focus. Having compassion, one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise, blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil, shun it, and do good. Let him speak peace, and ensue it, pursue it. So what do we see here? You and I are to have compassion for each other. I want everybody to do something. You ready? I'm the youth pastor. I do things a little different. I want you to look around the auditorium. Everybody, look around. Not just like this. Look around. Like look around. Be an owl. Look around. There we go. Hey, everybody smiling. We're all good. Anna, you too. Look around. Look around. Okay. I want you to think of someone in this church that you should, that you can show compassion to tonight. This verse, very clear. Having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, as brothers. Me and my brothers, when we were younger, we did not show the love of Christ to each other. But now that we're a little older, we've all grown slightly more mature. And guess what? I love my brothers. I absolutely love spending time with them. They drive me nuts after a few days, but I love them. Love as brethren. This compassion that we are to have for each other goes beyond just words and feelings. Does that sound familiar? It should. It sounds familiar because it's very familiar. It's basically the same. We are to show compassion for each other, and it goes beyond just words and feelings. I want us to look at this passage for a second. This is to affect our reactions. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3 again, verse number 9. Remember, verse number 8 said, hey, having compassion one of another, love his brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, accusation for accusation, but contrariwise, blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. What is he saying? Don't seek revenge. So often in our church, people go, well, they said this about me, so I'm going to say that about them. And then we go back and forth, and you know what we do? We consume each other. We demolish each other, and we wonder why we're not making a difference. What person, what lost person would go, I want that? None, okay? It's not a hard question. None. No lost person walks into a church like that they're consuming each other and goes, let me join that church. That sounds like fun. No, because that's what they get everywhere else. When I'm not seeking evil for evil, when I'm not going railing for railing, when I'm looking to bless others even when they despitefully use you and persecute you, then the world goes, there's something different about Harvest Baptist Temple. Then we can have our compassion make a difference. Then we begin to see real change. So often, we are terrible representations of what God wants us to be. What does Jesus say? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Sometimes I wonder why the world doesn't go, well, that is something different, because we're not exhibiting the love that God has called us to exhibit. So often we get so comfortable in our pew that it's like, I'm good. No, you're not. Can I just challenge you with something? If the only time you ever open up a Bible or you ever look at verses on the screen is at church, you're going to have problems. So often we sit like a baby at a high chair and go, feed me, wah, wah, wah. And the way we live our Christian life is just like that newborn that is completely incapable of feeding themselves, when honestly, you have everything to digest this word. And by the way, most of those Old Testament saints that you study about, actually all of them, didn't have something you have. The Holy Spirit that doesn't leave. And so if David could serve God and be a man after God's own heart, what's your excuse? If Abraham could be a friend of God, what's your excuse? Right? So we have something that they don't. So hey, let's live different. Let's digest this word on our own. Let's come in prepared. And guess what? Pastor Holmes' messages will hit you a little harder. Also, look at this. Look at verse number 11 of 1 Peter chapter 3. It says this, let him eschew evil, shun it, and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Pursue after it hard. Follow after it. You and I are to seek peace. This is talking about here. There are things that people say that hurt. And trust me, some of the worst hurts can be from church hurts, where people just say things that are just dumb. I'm going to share this, and this is a very personal story for my family. My grandpa was a pastor at a church, my grandpa Utley. He was riding a motorcycle, and his wife would ride on the back. And a deacon from his church came up to her and said, "You are a whore for riding on the motorcycle." My grandpa that night typed up, or wrote up probably, a letter of resignation and said, "I'm done," and walked away from the church for years, decades, because of one person and what they said. And they had no business to say it. And they were 100% wrong. And that was a wicked, evil thing to say to anyone. But that happened. I think it's so easy for us to go, "Yeah, I know what you say." And we do the same thing. We chirp. And we talk. And that person hears about it, or they hear it from you. And they go, "Why on earth am I doing this?" Sadly, so many pastors leave the ministry not because they are disqualified, but because people have destroyed them, because they have not learned how to control their mouth and they're not seeking peace. Shame. Shame on us. If you ever say anything bad about my pastor, there will be words to say. "Oh, I didn't need that anyway. It's already not working." Perfect. There will be words to be had. Your pastor is an incredible person. I'm not just saying that because he's not here. I would say it if he's sitting right there. He's an incredible human being. And Charles was 100% right. He loves you. He has compassion for you. And you treat him with respect. Moving on. Okay. Go to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. This is a passage that a lot of people struggle with in James chapter 2. But we're going to kind of break it down a little bit and help us to understand it. And James is a phenomenal book. It's often, you know, considered the Proverbs of the New Testament because it's so practical. It's incredible. But in James chapter 2, we find a very interesting illustration. Let's look at it. Very weird situation that I hope I never find myself in. Here we go. "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, 'Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works.'" What is he saying? He's saying what you do is a clear indication of what's inside. And just like how it wouldn't make any sense if there was a naked person who is obviously starving for me to go, "Be warmed and filled, and I've got food in the bags, and I've got money, and I could help them." And I go, "Hey, be warmed and filled," and they go, how does those words help anybody? It doesn't. Your words do nothing in that situation. And really, the illustration is this: you have the means to help them. This isn't someone who's just like barely scraping by and they're trying to feed for their family and they see someone and they're like, "I honestly cannot help you." That's not what we're talking about. This person has the necessary need. Like, their needs are already met. They have the necessary supply to meet this person's needs. And they go, "Be warmed and filled." And they walk away. What is a prophet? I'm going to follow James here. What is the prophet if your faith never is acted out? Where's the prophet? Obviously, there is none. Nobody's gaining anything from faith that's just kind of like, well, it's just fire insurance. Nobody's gaining anything from that. When was the last time that your faith impacted what you do? And I'm not just talking about coming to church tonight. I'm talking about yesterday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and at the July 3rd fellowship after church service thing, whatever we're doing on July 3rd. When was the last time that your faith impacted what you do? You know what it's going to take some of us to do on July 3rd? To look for people we don't know. And walk around and hand them a VBS flyer. Hand them a gospel tract. Talk to them. Hey, I'm Dan. I'm bald. I'm weird. Just talk. When was the last time your faith impacted what you do? What is the profit if we use just words? There is none. Well, Dan, I have such compassion on people that are struggling right now. Do something. Well, what should I do? Ask God. He'll tell you. Charles was right. Hey, God, when we ask for wisdom and we ask in faith, God will give us wisdom. That's also found in James. So guess what? I don't know what to do. This compassion thing. I don't know. My hands are not. Ask God. He will direct you. And I've said this before too. If it's something that brings God glory, it didn't come from the devil. Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's the devil telling me. Well, is it bringing God glory? It didn't come from the devil because he doesn't want that. And it's not coming from your flesh. It's not coming from the world. So who else is there? That's the Holy Spirit. So listen, do it. Your faith, my faith, should go beyond just pleasantries to action. Go back to Jude 22. Go back to Jude 22. I forgot my mic is sitting right there. Jude 22. Let's look at this verse again. And if some have compassion, making a difference. Melanie, I said I wasn't going to throw you any curveballs, but could you throw 23 on there too? I don't know if you can. Charles, you may have to help her. She looked at me like, I have no idea what's going on. I want you to understand something as she's looking that up. And if some have compassion, making a difference. I always thought that it was the compassion that made the difference. The compassion causes me to make a difference. See how it works? We'll go back to it. So here's verse 23. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. So what specifically is Jude talking about here in Jude 22? He's talking about you and I having compassion for the lost. That's what he's talking about. Compassion for the lost. When was the last time, again, I'll ask you this question, that you and I looked at a lost person and did something for them when we knew they could do nothing in return? I'm not talking about selling them a lawnmower. I'm talking about making a real difference. When was the last time, beloved? Moved with compassion, moved to action. I want us, every time we hear this word compassion, I want us to think of the word action. Because over and over again, we see even in the Old Testament where God has compassion on the children of Israel, where he doesn't forget them and he's gonna pull them back out of bondage. Over and over again, God's compassion is tied with action. And if I am to have compassion, follow his example. Church, I don't know about you, but oftentimes my compassion, true compassion, is lacking. Anybody else? Just nod your head. My true compassion is lacking. I am so concerned about getting from point A to point B and worrying about my schedule, worrying about, well, I gotta go have family time, I gotta go do this, that I completely forget that there are lost people around me. Be moved with compassion, but be moved to action. Here's the definition of compassion: to feel sympathy, to have pity, to have mercy. I pray tonight that this message was impactful to you, that you don't just leave here tonight and go, yeah, whatever, Dan talked for a while, but that it impacts you, that you seek to apply it. Let's ask God for help tonight.